This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Like so many across the nation, religious groups are assessing the impact and the message of last week's election. Some say traditional religious values were put to the test at the polls in states like Maryland, Maine, and Washington, where voters approved ballot initiatives legalizing same-sex marriage.
Meanwhile, voters decisively rejected anti-abortion candidates like Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch, who were running in reliably red states. So what does this say about the impact and influence of traditional religious values on American politics?
Greg Epstein is Harvard University's humanist chaplain. He wrote some cautionary advice for religiously motivated politicians on WBUR's opinion page Cognoscenti. His article is entitled, A Warning to Future Candidates, Wear Religious Blinders at Your Own Risk. And Greg Epstein, thanks for joining us today. Good to have you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So does the Christian right still have influence over the electorate, or are we seeing the start of a permanent decline in its influence? What do you think?
I think we're seeing an opportunity for those who are deeply concerned about the religious right and who want a more progressive, more science-positive America to really begin to make some positive change. We're seeing the potential for the decline in the religious right, the potential for more results like this, if progressive, religious, and secular Americans work together and continue to get organized.
Well, in your piece, you wrote that the signature values moment of 2012 was the decisive defeat of Republican senatorial candidates Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch in Missouri and Indiana.
That's right.
And, you got some pushback from some of the readers. So let me ask you this. Was it really the decisive moment? Because, yes, they were opposed to abortion rights and they got voted down, but folks might argue that they were defeated more for the way they expressed their position rather than the fact that they expressed it at all.
Well, I think that what actually happened is these two politicians really did express the conservative Christian right position. They were given opportunities to state their position. They stated it, and the bright spotlight of this election really shone on them and gave people a chance to really think about what they actually believe. If you look at it case by case, Todd Akin lost by 16% to Claire McCaskill in Missouri in a state in an election where Mitt Romney won by almost 10%. That's a legitimate result. The voters of Missouri really wanted Akin gone. I mean, it was with a vengeance. And then if you think, okay, well, that's only because Akin was just so incredibly idiotic in the way that he put it, legitimate rape and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, basically he said women rarely get pregnant from what he termed legitimate rape.
Right. So clearly the voters were responding there to his utter lack of knowledge, his utter ignorance, and the way that he expressed himself. But if you look at Richard Murdoch, he lost a Senate seat to Joe Donnelly that has been a Republican seat since 1977, uninterrupted. And all Richard Murdoch said was that a baby born in case of a rape is part of God's plan.
Right.
I was thinking about that. I really don't know any nicer way that you could possibly put it.
Hmm.
I mean, it's really all he was saying was this is the belief. And I think what happened is in this new electorate that stretches across the country, that is, it's a generational thing. It's younger voters are part of a new electorate that really disagree.
Well, we certainly saw the result of a changing electorate last Tuesday. And, and in your piece, you talk about a tweet that you received from interfaith leader Frankie Fredericks, who tweeted you, quote, "The way Christians are voting is changing. I'm an evangelical and I would vote for a humanist if they reflected my views and values."
Yeah, and Frankie is a friend of mine who is one of a big group of interfaith leaders with whom I have good relations as a humanist and a secular person, an atheist, what have you, and where there really is an expectation now, and I've seen this whether it's on a sort of national organizing level or at the White House or in Congress, there's an expectation that the religious and the non-religious in this country now are going to be able to work together, and we're going to find actually a lot of common ground. There's a majority of people in this country who recognize that evolution is real, that global warming is real, climate change is real, and it's man-made, that the Big Bang really happened, that, you know, that we need policies that reflect actual knowledge. This is something that secular and religious people can get along about now, and politicians that refuse to recognize that reality are going to be dinosaurs pretty soon.
Well, we have literally 10 seconds left, but I want to just sort of ask you this final question. You say that your fellow humanists must look inward, and the best way to make America more accepting is not to berate your religious neighbors.
Absolutely. Yeah. At the humanist community at Harvard, we work with religious communities. People can go to our website, Harvard Humanist, to find out about a great interfaith community service event that we're even putting on just this coming weekend that people are all invited to from all over the city of Boston.
Well, Greg Epstein, it was a provocative piece. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. And thanks for coming on Radio Boston today. Great pleasure to have you.
Take care.
That's Greg Epstein. He's Harvard's humanist chaplain and the director of the university's humanist community. You can find a link to his Cognoscenti piece on our website, radioboston.org.
And remember, while you're there, you can always leave us a comment on anything you hear on the show. So check it out, radioboston.org. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show was produced by Jessica Alpert, Amory Sievertson, and Dina Rosendorf. We're receiving production help this week from Aisha Siddiqui. Our intern is Emily Zent.
Tim Skoog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.